So our Prince and the Revolution starts us off on this Monday morning. My thanks to Alan for breakfast from 3 till 10. I'd like a long breakfast. Mind you, I tell you, I didn't get up till 8 o'clock. No, I was up a little bit earlier, yeah, 7:45. And this morning, joining me is Laura Toop, and we're going to be talking about well-being in different forms. And the first question that we're asking, and we'll try to answer, is, are you being too hard on yourself? Are we being too hard on ourselves?
That is the question, isn't it, John? Morning, John, how are you?
I'm all right, yes. Surviving.
Surviving. Well, maybe we can move that from surviving to thriving, maybe a little bit more.
Okay, right. So when we say, are we being too hard on ourselves, we're in a financial crisis, heating costs are going up, food is going up, and the choices we had seem to be more and more limited.
Yeah, I think I was asked this question, or somebody posed this question earlier this week, was she being too hard on herself about expectations she was placing on herself of what she had to deliver? And I think there is a question over what are we prioritizing right now? What really, really matters most for us? It can't be everything anymore, where we were having to make choices about, for example, where we spend money, having the latest iPhone, having the latest this, or being there all the time, spending money on other things. Are we pushing ourselves too hard and creating unnecessary stress for ourselves when what matters most to us is, our family, making sure that they're safe, etc.? And I think it's a really interesting question, because where does that expectation come from? Arguably, it's society and the fact that we have had so much choice. We can, up until now, relatively easily go into a shop and buy the latest thing. Social media adds to that and says, you have to have this sort of latest thing in order to fit in. So before we know it, we've had all these subliminal messages telling us that in order to achieve, be seen to be successful, we have to have these certain things. And then suddenly when we've got to make really tough choices, we can't have those things quite so readily. And I think from that, it goes to a place of, have we become disconnected with what really matters and who we are? We're not the labels that we wear. We're not the latest iPhone. Because if we strip that all back, who are we? What matters most to us, and what do we want to feel? They're kind of the three fundamental questions.
So let's come back to that in a few minutes, but really we're looking at what is our identity.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. Now, have you ever chased pavements? Adele and Chasing Pavements here on a Monday morning on West Kent Radio. With me is Laura Too, and we're talking about the pressures of life this morning. And with the financial crisis, food prices going up, fuel prices going up as well, and we can't meet other people's expectations in purchases, we can't keep up with the trends. It's really a question of identity. We need to get back to who we are. Now, how do we do that?
It is, absolutely, John. The fundamental thing is identity, who we are, what matters most to us, and ultimately how we want to feel. The thing is so for so long we have identified ourselves and success and happiness and all these wonderful words that get thrown out in the world on social media, and is that you have to have the latest thing, the latest gadget, the latest pair of trainers, whatever it might be, whatever it's your particular thing, in order to be seen to be successful, to be happy. The trouble is you're constantly chasing the next thing when that is defining your identity. So stripped away from those things, people start to feel a little bit, for want of a better word, nude, because actually they have to find themselves and rely on themselves to carry them through as their identity. And it's not something we are taught. we're not taught to discover those. Life allows us to discover that, but the education system works effectively on the basis that it's very linear. It sets us up with this belief that life is linear, in the fact that, you know, 1 and 1 equals 2, 2 and 2 equals 4. You know, if we listen to the teacher, aka the leader, we'll eventually get to 10, we'll get a gold star, fabulous, we'll be happy if we work hard, play within the rules, and, you know, brilliant. It sets us up in the belief that that's how life is. The reality is now life isn't linear, and we have to really dig into who it is that we are and what matters most to us. We give people labels in order to be able to, so widow, mother, daughter, sister, cousin, whatever. And in some ways they allow people to identify you to a particular group of people, but that's not still not who you are. So let me give you an example. If I was to tell you who I was and what I love to do, for me, I love to have the opportunity to have a window into somebody else's world. I love to travel. I love to read about other cultures, other people, to connect with people, to be inspired by the energy of others. That, for me, is at the very essence of who I am. What matters to me is people and, you know, being able to support others to understand, rather than to be judged, to be criticized, to feel like they're rejected, to be able to take different perspectives. And what I want to feel is to feel alive and beyond boundaries, beyond restrictions, which allows for an air, if you want a better way of describing it, of creativity and possibility. But that's me specifically. But it really boils down to those three questions. Who am I? What matters most to me? And what do I want to feel?
Well, shall we take each of those questions in turn?
Mm-hmm.
If you can remember them.
Yep.
Let's first have George Ezra and Hold My Girl. Keith Urban and Wild Hearts here on West Kent Radio. Now, a little bit of traffic for you. There's been an accident on the M25 between a car and a lorry on the clockwise between Clackett Lane and the A22 Godstone. Travel time is 30 minutes. Lanes 1 and 2 of 4 are closed. If you're going the other way, stop-start traffic at the Dartford Tunnels. Travel time is 40 minutes. On the A264 Pembrey Road here in Tunbridge Wells, there's temporary traffic lights in the roadworks area, and there's queuing traffic going right back to Pembrey and One Direction and Calverley Park Gardens in the other. And if you're heading down towards Hastings, yes, the usual trouble spot down there at the Flimwell traffic lights. Travel time there is 9 minutes. So, best stay at home, listen to West Kent Radio. Yes, good idea. With me this morning, Laura Toon, we were talking a few minutes earlier, and we've got three questions we're going to tackle. And the first question is, how do you answer the question, who am I?
Yeah, it's a question that we're not used to asking ourselves. We're so used to giving ourselves these labels, mother, daughter, sister, brother, uncle, career woman, nurse. They're all just labels that we apply in order to put ourselves in a category, because we all have a sense of a need to belong. But that they're just labels. That isn't who we are. Who we are the things that, for me, bring me alive, but for others will be bring them peace, bring them contentment, whatever the word is that is right for them. But ultimately, it's the very essence of our personality. But it's a question we're not asked.
No, and quite often we put on a persona.
Oh, absolutely. So the mask.
The mask, yes. And for various reasons. My mask, right from an early age, was humour. If I could make somebody laugh, they weren't going to hit me. Because being bullied at school, you know, you think, well, how do I get round this? So there was a mask of jokes.
Yep.
And it was in my early 20s when a young lady said, look, I don't know you. all I have is this wall of jokes. I had to start consciously dealing with it. Now, yeah. I didn't lose my sense of humour. Well, some people say I lost my sense of humour, but they've never appreciated my bad jokes anyway. But I use that as a protection.
It is, yeah.
And so it's quite common for us to put masks. How do we get to know the real us?
I think it is a journey of discovery, of trying and perhaps failing, but I think we have to find our own safe spaces and, you know, to use the overused phrase, to find our tribes. And invariably it comes through things that we enjoy doing, for example. So, you know, I love to learn. So I've often joined groups where I'm amongst like-minded people where I can feel relatively safe in order to be open and honest, because the environment, we're brought together in a way that we're actually all connected around something. The same with traveling as well. You're brought together through the love of travel. You're around people where you can explore that further. And you start to then discover things about yourself through those conversations. But you're right, we do put up this mask. I think I went, believe it or not, the opposite direction. I mean, it wasn't necessarily comedy. I actually just stopped talking when I was much, much younger, which I know is hard to believe when you consider it now.
Well, being silent and perhaps even withdrawn.
Totally. But it's still the same scenario. We're still trying to... Because my fear was if I said something... Well, there were two things. One was the fact that I didn't actually have the words to say what was going on. I mean, I'm going back to when I was 15. So that is, you know, 15, 16. That was a very long time ago, I hasten to add.
I won't believe it.
Well, thank you, John. But it was, you know, that's the whole thing. So that because I didn't have the words and I thought it would all come out as a jumbled mess, I therefore effectively stopped talking. And so my fear then was obviously that it would all be a jumbled mess or I would get it wrong. And I remember, and I was so afraid of that I couldn't progress because I couldn't, how could I have a conversation where I could actually learn? And, you know, I remember vividly my A-levels, and my geography tutor used to get so frustrated with me because he said, if you just put your name on the page, or if you opened your mouth, Laura, you'd just get a C just for doing that. And I was just like, I would just literally be frozen in that space. And, you know, those who know me well know I love a good post-it note. Do you know what the thing was that allowed me to start putting pen to paper and start having those conversations? It was using post-it notes, because it didn't matter if, you know, I got really hung up on the fact that the pen and the paper had to be absolutely spot on. If I didn't get those right, well, then I was going to fail. That was how, you know, paralyzed I became by it. But a post-it note, you can start anywhere. You can write anything, you can move them around, you can scrap them, and that became my ability to take a step forward, to get out of this sort of paralysis, because the fear was so great. But it was a protection thing, as you rightly say. But without having conversations about those things that matter to us, we can't actually explore the emotions. But a conversation, and I use the word loosely, can actually be through other media. So, you know, a great friend of mine, who also is a widow, she took up photography as her means of communication and having a conversation, because behind the lens, this became her safe space to have a conversation, and her conversation came through her pictures as a result. So it's all stepping stones to getting you to this place where we can start connecting with the person that we are at in a way that feels comfortable for us to not be fearful.
I think many people have the desire to be themselves.
Yeah.
But don't know how, because of all the expectations of the roles they have. And their roles can define us.
Yes.
And roles actually can hide us from being the person we are.
Absolutely.
I know when, particularly with young mums, you know, they become a mum, they're mixing with other young mums, the conversation is all about the children, and then they suddenly realise they haven't had an adult conversation.
Yes.
And they've lost something. So doing something different to bring that back to who they are. Even at school, you get a defined role.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, that person is not who you are.
No.
Because we don't all learn the same.
No. Nope.
We all have different abilities and disabilities.
Yep.
As you were saying about trying to express yourself on paper, my handwriting has always been terrible.
Mm.
It wasn't until I was in my 40s we discovered it was dyspraxia.
Right, okay.
So you know, all the extra handwriting classes and things like that, no effect whatsoever.
Yeah.
But they were trying to put me into a mould
that
I was never going to fit.
No, absolutely.
And I think one of the things that in this discovery of ourselves is we have to realise and say, I don't fit into that mould. I am me.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I ironically had a conversation with somebody else more recently, and we talked about, you know, in business you talk about this idea of you've got to have a niche where you, you know, so everybody knows what you do. Well, do we? And he said, actually, the point at which I realised I didn't have to have a niche, because if I belonged in my own skin, then actually that was okay. And actually, we need to all belong in our own skin, because our own skin is the only one we're going to carry through our entire lives. So if we can't get comfortable with it, you know, we're not going to be very happy at the end of the day.
Okay, so what was our second question that we're going to look at in a minute?
What matters most to us?
What matters most to us? So, we'll be back after we've had Changes from Debbie Bowie and Stay the Night, Sigala and Talia Maar. Listening to West Kent Today on West Kent Radio, with me this morning is Laura Toop, and we've answered the first question about who am I, my identity. And the next question we're going to look at is, what's important to me?
Yeah.
Something we should all ask ourselves. So how do we discover that?
Big question there, John. How do I answer that succinctly? Not a word that I use often, or it comes often in my vocabulary. But ultimately, we can probably observe what matters most to us just through our actions, behaviours, and what we say. Because whether we actively notice it or not, what matters most to us in any one moment will be seen through our behaviours. So we will prioritise, so family, for example, if that is what matters most to you, you will invest your time, energy, effort into that, to potentially the compromise of other things. But quite often, and it's back to our thing about, you know, whose expectations are we living up to? Are they our expectations, or is it somebody else's expectations of what we're meant to be doing or should be doing rather than our own, is that we can find we are living to somebody else's values, what matters most to them, rather than our own. And we have to question ourselves, whose values is that? Is that mine or is that somebody else's? So it is a case of really sort of sitting there. I know values and things that matter to me have changed over time. Health, for example, having lost mine 7 years ago to the extent I did, keeping healthy now has a far greater importance. So I will, you know, endeavour to go and do some form of exercise every single day. 8 years ago, forget it. I was, you know, I would walk to the station and that would be about it, because I was in, you know, what mattered most to me was my career, but to the compromise of my family life, something again that I wanted to readjust. I mean, we don't have to sit with, you know, that what matters most will evolve through our experiences, life experiences, that is, and how we change through life as a result of those experiences. But it's important to check in with those and check in with how they're evolving. Equally, flip side, where values differ between two individuals and what matters most to those two individuals in that moment in time can so often lead to conflict. So it's always important to understand from another's perspective what matters to them in the moment in order to reduce that level of conflict. But don't forget that, you know, family might be important to you as it is to me, John, but what we mean by that might be quite different.
And what matters to us can also change, as it can evolve, develop, and what we were concerned with last year, the year before, that may well have changed.
Absolutely, and I think that's why I say it's so important to check in with ourselves as to how these things change, because it's important that we evolve with it now more than ever. Looking back to 2-3 years ago, we can't compare ourselves to them because we're different people. We've had different experiences. There is a, and I can never pronounce it, but whether he's Greek or whatever, philosopher Heraclitus, who said, "No man steps into the same river twice because he is not the same man and it's not the same river." And I think it's a very true quote. We can't go back to a place before. We can observe it, and I say we can acknowledge it and take for what it is, but we have to recognise things have happened and moved us forward. How have we evolved? How has that shaped us as a result?
And that sort of evolving goes back to question one about who we are.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's definitely linked. And we're going to come on to the third question in a few minutes.
Yes.
I just want to go back to this idea at the moment that there are pressures on us.
Yes.
That perhaps a new iPhone, don't like them anyway.
No, we don't.
That's not going to be my target. It may be that I need to put food on the table like this chap with the stingray.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And I've got to provide for family. So priorities change. Not putting me first.
Yes.
But putting others first.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's actually quite frustrating at times, but also quite rewarding.
Yes.
Because we stop being selfish.
Yes.
You know, we become better people for other people.
Yeah,
right, Street Life from the Crusaders, and we're back with our third and final question, which is,
how do I want to feel?
How do I want to feel? Okay. Street Life there from the Crusaders. Now, our third and final question that Laura is going to attempt to tackle, and I'm going to make it as difficult as possible, as I normally do, is, how do we want to feel?
Absolutely. Well, how do we want to feel, or what is it that we want to feel? And I think it's one of those things where literally if you were to ask yourself, what do I want to feel now? What is the word that comes to mind? So often people say to me, I want to feel content. I want to feel, for me, it's to be alive and to live beyond boundaries, by which I mean the boundaries that society puts on us. For others, it is, I want to feel at peace. It is telling you something that you, a need that either you have or want to fulfill. Even if you start at the point, I don't want to feel angry, for example, that I never really class emotions as necessarily negative or positive, rather that they are signals telling us something, as I say, that we need for ourselves to take us one step further forward. And it's at that point that we can then start exploring, well, what does that really mean for us? So for some, to be at peace means I feel comfortable in conversation, I have time to myself to go and have coffee with friends, to have, you know, a work where I am not the sole leader of that business. I'm working for somebody. It's different for every single person, but ultimately, by just answering that sentence for yourself and then start exploring, well, what does that really mean? What would be happening? What would you be doing? That's when you can start uncovering a whole life that is different, that relies on different things than just the physical, I've got to have the latest gadget in order to feel like I'm achieving something.
Gadgets don't help you achieve anything.
No, because you'll always want the latest thing.
Yeah.
And the need is within you that you're trying to fulfill. It's not out there. Mm. And by out there, I mean kind of beyond you. We have to learn to nurture and nourish ourselves, because without doing that, actually, we can't give to other people. There's a beautiful analogy that says the heart must beat first, i.e. ourselves, before it can pump blood around the body to the organs to give them life. And we quite often forget that. So if we're not nurturing and really understanding what it is that we want from life, what we want to feel, then the rest of the things just falls apart. I don't think I really fully realised this until 7 years ago when my life fell apart, because I think I probably, in life mark one, as I call it, spent a lot of time trying to fit in and feel on behalf of everybody else rather than myself. And as a result, I think made myself desperately unhappy and lived behind a mask.
So we're back to the mask again.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Laura, for coming in today, and we'll
thank
see you again next month. Yeah, when I'm back from my holidays.
Absolutely.
If you've got any questions for Laura, you can email me at studio@westkentradio.co.uk. We will tackle any subject to do with life and all its fullness.